There's nothing worse than going to your sister's dance recital sober. Twirl, spin, froth at the lips with cuteness, these Ritalin-taken 8-year oiled girls, dressed in sparkly sequin bee outfits, dancing and singing to the song, I Wanna Be Free, by some shitty group covering the Monkees. And it really bothers me, because it's $10 for one beer, and I didn't bring weed with me. So I just had to sit there, taking it all in, of act after act, of dance after dance, of cuteness after cuteness, and I wanted to puke. But I couldn't, because I didn't want to pay those prices for a beer. Then finally, the finale. All the girls on stage, auditorium filled, waiting that grandness, that last note to end the evening right. One of the dance instructor ladies gets up to the microphone and says, this is for the men and women overseas. We got him. We finally got him. And then a remix version of the song In the Navy starts playing, and that would make sense, because all the girls are wearing sparkly sequin navy outfits, and everyone's dancing, and everyone's singing, and then you hear this pop-like gunshot sound, but it wasn't a gun, it was just streamers and confetti shot out of some party cannon thing, and everyone's dancing, and everyone's cheering. So I walk up to the Ritzy refreshment stand, hand the guy a 20, and buy 2 beers. Thank you. Unfortunately, that was a true story.
America!
Anyway. Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
Can I get an amen?
Amen!
It's easy to convince people that you are their link to God. It's easy to convince people that you are that connection. People who do the paperwork are the secretaries of a God idea. They are middle management. The title of this poem is No Experience Necessary. Hello. My name is Thomas Fugaloro, and I'd like to talk to you today about the Universal Life Church Monastery. Online and for free, I have been anointed a minister person and got myself a minister person degree. And I am ready to teach and set the word of the Lord, tree, root, or whatever free. Oh, I, Pastor T. Fuke, have the power, oh yes, the power, to do the Lord, tree, sky, or whatever's work. I can make you love one another. I can now perform weddings legally. You. Marry. You and the table, I now pronounce you husband and inanimate object. Oh, the power I wield. I, Father T. Fuke, am here to tell you I am against greed, sloth, vengeance, violence, wrath, all the number one hits. I am Leviathan, the Holy Trinity, the Isosceles Triangle, the Lord, tree, fish, or whatever, of the healing heart. I can heal people. I can actually save people. You, and you, divorce. Oh, I have the power. The JPEG on my computer screen tells me so. I have all the rights to perform the next coming and going of you all. Kindness, patience, diligence, charity, humility. I can fake these things too. It's easy to be the savior they want me to be. It's easy to have a roar in your throat and a dance in your step. It's easy to sound concerned. It's easy to take advantage of the spirit because there is no money or power, or glory in saving unbroken things. The new title of this poem is All Are Welcome. I think what people often forget is that they themselves are the true link to God. So I really suck with talking in between poems, but I'm from Staten Island, and the Wu-Tang thing, yeah, Wu-Tang, you should get the new album. That's all the banter I have for you. So I'm going to go to the next poem. We are all used books, waiting for the right person to turn our page. There is a grand feeling when you can find a book of Emily Dickinson poems in a crate in front of a bookstore for $1. The world shines on a day like that. The journey of certain books from the sun to the poet's head, to the page, to the press, to the print, to the reader, and then, for whatever financial reason, that reader needs to sell that book to someone else who thinks of the sun and thinks of writing poems, but then, because of poems, can't pay the rent. So you sell your collection of used books to a used bookstore. The journey of the book continues, even if you do not. And to those who have died and left used books, your sacrifice is another proud paper cut in my collection of poems. For you see, the dead often bring literature to the living, saving lives for low prices. The used book industry might be the closest thing to fair and balanced health care that we have. There is a grand feeling when you can pick up a long-lost lover off the ground, dust them off, and become whole again. The journey of two hearts from the sun to lovers burst, and you find yourselves lost, not in each other's arms, but in each other's hatred. So you part ways and go on your own journey towards the sun, and you find a new lover who was someone else's old lover. But then you realize nothing compares to your previous lover, not even the sun. So you find that first heart, an old lover, and become whole again. The journey continues, and so do you. Knowing who you love sometimes requires the knowing of somebody else's hand. And to those lovers who have died and left used books, your sacrifice is another long-lost lover selling your books by the roadside. I hope someday I can find that special someone who will sell my collection of used poetry books when I die. Thank you. So I'm part of a press called Great Weather for Media, and currently we are accepting poetry, prose, and creative nonfiction pieces. GreatWeatherForMedia.com is where you go to find all that information out. Submissions end 2015 of January, just so you know, if you are interested. That's it. The worst thing we can do is procreate. At a time like this, the sign said, have a baby, participate in the new research lab. So here, have a baby, and to you, have a baby, and to you guys in the back drinking, have a baby. Here, wait, I'm gonna have a baby right now, hold on. Oh, yeah, have a baby, so that they have some more babies, and then they have some more babies, and that's like 12 babies for the price of sex. So here, have a baby. Participate in the new research lab. Oh, wait. I've been reading the sign wrong. It's not have a baby as a statement. It's have a baby as a question. Have a baby? Participate in the new research lab. I saw this sign flashing on one of those flashing boards at the entrance of a college. And what this sign says to me is that this college is asking if they can have students do tests on your babies because it's a tax write-off for corporations and sometimes you just don't have enough mice. Or men. I don't know what that sign means and I'm afraid to ask. There is a whole culture out there testing the human condition by conditioning the human out of you with prosthetic hair pieces and Bible belts. All don't mind a little whatever, as long as that whatever has a pulse that needs a little something more because nature is wrong and Lysol is right. It seems these days they only test It seems these days they only test poisons on children at a college level.
Anyone know any jokes? That could be my banter. No? All right, next
How many babies?
What? Babies?
Two babies walk into a bar.
And I'm pregnant.
I have three more for you. According to the Department of Justice, every 2 minutes in America. When I was 8 years old, I had this big transformer named Metroplex. And he was like 2-year-old toddler big. And I took this 2-year-old toddler transformer and threw it at my cousin's head, slicing it open. My parents took the transformer away from me. You misuse it, you lose it. I had this dream about the prison rehabilitation system, and there was this man, and he was strapped to an operating table, completely awake, stomach sliced open, and there was this surgeon there, and he was all dressed in black, and he started putting his hands in him, pulling out old organs and putting new ones in. After he sewn him up poorly, his outside was the same, but his insides were all moved around. Some taken out, some put back in. He felt like himself, but not quite. Over 70% of men who are convicted of rape and then serve out their sentences and then are released, rape again. A man is only as valuable as his penis allows him to be. You misuse it, you lose it. Can't get any simpler than that. Some things deserve to be forgiven, but the rapist should never forget. You misuse it, you lose it. If castration were simply introduced in today's legislation as a result of raping someone, you would see that rape percentage drop pretty fucking quick. Now, I know some people might find this inhumane and savage, but so is rape and human intelligence. And self-control have not yet cracked the mindset of small dick rapists who have daddy issues, or mommy issues, or confidence issues, or abandonment issues, or some motherfuckers just aren't right in the head. But I'm sure if castration was introduced into law, those motherfuckers would get it right in the head. You misuse it, you lose it. If you take away a woman's sanctuary, your penis should be taken to the castrated penis disposal facility in Paramus, New Jersey. You misuse it, you lose it. Some lessons need to be taught. This isn't a poem, it's a petition. It's a songbird hoping for flight. Now, I know using violence to prevent violence sounds stupid and rather foolish. But every 2 minutes in America, a woman is raped. So for every poem you've heard tonight, another soft echo moans in the distance. Each poem, another who has fallen. I think the only way to stop violence, true violence of any kind, is through poetry. But we don't have time for rational solutions.
Thank you so much. Two more.
Most people don't know this about me, but I am an 18th century dainty antique delicate cracked Japanese teacup. When the Japanese mend a broken object, they aggrandize the damage by filling it with gold. When something has suffered damage, it becomes more beautiful. She said she knew who I was. She said she was afraid of my past. Little did she know, so was I. Oh, haunting pasts are like growing neck goiters, always in the way, always in plain sight, and she didn't have a problem reminding me of the 10-year cocaine habit thing, or the unemployed thing, or the poet thing, or you've only been sober from coke 2 years thing, and rehabilitation doesn't always mean promise, and she thought me not a gentleman to keep. She said my petals had long fallen off. Little did she know, that bud blooming in the wind is a rising sun, and I have crawled out of shit and seizures, and I ain't ever going back to up my nose, so fuck you. It is me who is saying my light is way too bright for you. I was the dry spell, and then the storm. Thieving, lying, deceiving, dreadful little rocks, snorted through brain. I am the fire of ash, the burnt over with heart. I resurrect thee, and your judgment of me is just another candle lit on this journey. I am the journey. You are nothing but a path. It's never too late to be yourself. If someone ever says to you you can't, show them the well-lit back alleys of your torso. This city breathes for change and yearns for light. 2 years ago, I used to have to say, hello, my name is Thomas Fucoloro, and I am addicted to cocaine. Now I say, hello, my name is Thomas Fucoloro, and I am a new school MFA creative writing graduate. And you know who was there for me? I was there for me. If anyone ever tells you it's too late, tell them it's too early to jump from bridges. And you know what they say, cocaine abuse does lead to literary MFA degrees. And you can keep cutting my limbs, but like a starfish, I keep regenerating back. So yes, I am a motherfucking super badass 18th century dainty antique delicate cracked Japanese teacup. I am damaged, but I am beautiful. My mouth is a well. You can certainly put your wishes here. Thanks.
I have one more for you tonight. Thank you. And if you are interested, I do have a book. Come see me. Okay. And can't wait for the slam.
Yeah.
Because then you're going to be up here being judged.
Yay. My heartbeat wants to be heard. I used to only care about dead poets. The ones who have burst forth from the fire, only to become the fire, only to burst forth through me, for everything dead shall rise within me. I used to only care about dead poets, because we are all buried inside ourselves, and when your body is a cemetery, you are never alone, because a cemetery is a cemetery because of the lives left in it. There is a storyline here. It starts with depression and it ends in anger. And I can feel the tipping point, the beast, the bristle of flame. flame, igniting suicidal emotions, only to realize this suicidal fire has burned for far too long. Too open, too cruel, too lonely, too broken. I used to only care about the dead and things. And then came the lithium. And then I used to only stare at the dead and things. And then came the coke. And oh, how I became the dead and things. And then came the soberness. And now I only write about the dead and things. Everyone tells me I look like Robin Williams, and I don't know what they are talking about. Everyone tells me I look like Robin Williams, and I know exactly what they are talking about. Poets like sad, damaged, and broken down things. I used to only care about dead poets because they are easy to talk to. Poets like broken, damaged, and sad puppies. But then I look around this room, this light, these glorious eyes are stars amongst the unraveled tapestry of the universe. And I gotta tell you, I used to only care about dead poets, but it's the ones who are living that are keeping me alive. Thank you.